Hear the word of the Lord. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, or perhaps a better of the things to come, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it's necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll on all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Records it this way for us as he writes to the Corinthians: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Three little words: in my blood. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. That's what I want us to look at in a moment. Let's just pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we ask for an anointing upon speaker and hearers to speak of such a thing, such a precious thing, is something that any preacher would need help with. And so I ask, Lord, especially for your grace, your strength, your spirit, and for us to hear and to respond. We need your help too. So Lord, we again covet your presence, covet that touch upon our lives. Meet us at the point of our need. And be glorified in all that's said and all that we do in response to what's said. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's about an eighth of your body weight, and men have more of it than women. There are several types of it, and it flows at an optimum pressure when you're in good health. Of course, I'm talking about blood. Blood. But tonight, as I say, I want to speak about the blood of Christ. I want us to think about those words of Jesus there when he took the cup and spoke of the new covenant in his blood. I can tell you lots of things, facts and figures about blood. The red blood cells carrying the oxygen. White blood cells fighting infection. Platelets help you stop bleeding when you're cut. Plasma, a yellowish liquid carrying nutrients, hormones, proteins throughout the body. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, aren't we? When you think about it. How we are made, how we are put together, how it all works, and the significance of every little part within it. But at the Lord's table, we drink the cup, remembering how our Lord shed his blood, providing eternal salvation. Your blood provides, your blood protects, but this blood I want to speak about eternally provides and eternally protects. As I say, if there's a text this evening, it is that 1 Corinthians 11:15, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. But I want to go big with it. I want to paint with broad brush strokes from the very beginning to look and to think of the significance of this. Because God doesn't just choose to do things on a whim. The plans and purposes of God in our salvation unfold through Scripture, don't they? And the importance of sacrifice and the importance of blood from the beginning are very clear. And you can trace it through. Well, that would perhaps be a Bible study. But I just want to warm your hearts this evening before we drink of that cup, so that we can drink it afresh this evening with meaning and purpose and rejoice in the significance of it. So let me begin by saying, firstly, Christ's blood is precious. I have said many a simple thing in the last 16 years with you, but surely this must be the new low or the new high, depending on how you look at it, in the simple statement. Christ's blood is precious. Where would we be without it? Now, all blood is precious. When Abel's blood was shed, there in Genesis chapter 4, God made it clear. Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground, was the Lord's instruction to Cain. And when I read that and I think about the blood that's been shed upon this planet, not just in the wars, but obviously there's big bloodshed, but through the years, through the ages, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. The Lord is so aware, so conscious. He made us. He knows how the blood system works. But more than that, he knows the significance when blood is shed. The psalmist says, he will rescue them from oppression and violence, for precious is their blood in his sight. Bloodshed is not the way it's supposed to be. We know, and I'll come to it, there is and has been the need for people to lay down their lives for us. You think of what was recently celebrated and commemorated, at least at Passchendaele, and all that went on there. The blood cries out to the Lord. And then as you go through, take a few steps further forward and Remember Noah coming off the ark. He was given meat to eat. Upsets the vegetarians, but there it is in chapter 9 and verse 3. But not that that blood should be eaten with its blood still within it. Blood that is shed needs to be accounted for. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. That unique position that man has in creation. Yes, other creatures have blood within them, but human blood, somehow it is uniquely lifted above that in those words that God spoke to Noah. For we know as we move on through Scripture, blood was used in the sacrificial system. The life of the creature is in the blood, says Leviticus. I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. That was the instruction. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. And right at that moment, obviously before as well, you get the echo, don't you? You get the whisper, perhaps a better way of putting it, of Calvary. And the blood being shed to make atonement for our sins. The pattern was in place for the blood of the ultimate sacrifice to be offered, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when a covenant, a promise, a deal, I know that word can mean all sorts of things, an agreement was set up between God and his people, blood was involved. After Moses had received the law, the covenant was established. Blood was sprinkled on the altar. We read from Hebrews 9, it's referred to there. But not just on the altar, on the people. This is the blood of the covenant, says Exodus 24. What did Jesus say? This is the blood of the new covenant in the upper room. Before, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with these words, the words of the law. But now, through the cross, the grace of God is known and made known to us. A new covenant has now been established through the precious blood of Christ. So Peter writes, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That passage in Hebrews uses that little phrase I know comes elsewhere in Scripture. How much more? How much more precious is this blood that has been shed to obtain eternal redemption? Eternal redemption. What is the most precious substance on this planet? Caviar? Printing ink. They reckon printing ink is the most expensive liquid on this planet per whatever. No, the precious, most precious liquid substance is the blood of Christ that was shed once for all from Calvary's cross for you and for me. Christ's blood is precious because Christ's blood provides what was needed. Yes, we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, there's all sorts of things going through our blood. What is needed is provided within our system. What's not needed is removed. We won't go into that. But in the Old Testament, blood covered, blood protected. Again, remember Moses, remember the Israelites in Egypt and the door posts, the lintels of the door with blood over them so that the Lord passed over. Judgment came on the rest of Egypt, but not upon God's people. Under the blood, they were protected. Under the blood, they were kept safe. The blood of animals, goats, heifers and the like that we read in our reading, offered as sacrifices, covered the sins of God's people a day of atonement. Atonement was made for them. And then the day after, they got up and they blew it, and they had to wait. There was a cover for their sins, a protective layer, if you like, but all leading to the one sacrifice for the sins of the world. The Lamb of God offered without blemish for the sins of the world, for you and for me. Only then could sin be cleansed. Not covered, cleansed. Removed as far as the east is from the west. This is what we are celebrating. This is what we are drinking at this table. This is, as we lift up the cup, what we're thinking of. The precious, most precious thing of all. His blood poured out for us to be cleansed, forgiven. In the past, the blood covered, but now his blood cleansed. The high priest entered the man-made tabernacle. You remember the elaborate tent, the moving worship center. And they took the tabernacle with them, and the high priest went in to the most holy place. The high priest entered the man-made tabernacle again and again for the sins of his people. And as it says in that reading, Jesus, our great high priest, offered once and for all himself as a sacrifice. He was both high priest, wasn't he, and sacrifice. And through his blood shed, we are eternally cleansed. In heaven itself, that's how Hebrews describes it, in the courts of heaven themselves, this has happened for us once and for all. Now, I don't want to sound, and I know I'm in danger of sounding in a moment like I've swallowed a theological dictionary, because there's a few big words attached to this. When you ask the question, what does his blood provide? You know, your blood in your system, as I say, provides various nutrients and other things, and assists you in health and well-being. But what does his blood provide? What do the scriptures say? His blood provides atonement. We've already had that word. Somebody has described that as at-one-ment. Bringing peace. Bringing restored relationship. Atonement. God presented him, says Romans 3, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. The sacrifice, yes. And through faith in his shed blood and his suffering for us. Making peace through his blood. Colossians 1. You have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Atonement, at-one-ment, bringing into peace, bringing into an end of hostility. All because of his blood. Bloodshed bringing peace. Well, we know something about that because, as I say, when we think of wars that have been undertaken, lives laid down that we might have peace in this country. And we're so grateful, aren't we, for that. And every Remembrance Day and every special occasion, and they're coming thick and fast at the moment with the anniversaries of these battles. They are precious. Where would we be without them? Victory has come about. Victory through war. Victory through bloodshed that's brought peace. And there's a sense in which Jesus' blood provides atonement. Provides that peace. Making things at one with our Heavenly Father. We were enemies, the gospel message tells us. We were enemies of God, enemies of Christ. and yet he has made peace for us. His blood provides atonement. His blood provides justification. Again, you remember that little way of looking at that, just as if I'd never sinned. We now have been justified by his blood, Romans 5. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? To him who has loved us and freed us from our sins by his blood. Bloodshed brings freedom. It brings peace. It brings freedom. To be justified is to be free. Set free. No record of the wrong that has been committed. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, says Hebrews 9. But there is forgiveness, for Christ has shed his blood. We remember that every time we drink from this cup, we remember atonement, justification. And we remember that the price has been paid. We remember redemption. Okay, that's the third and the last of the big words. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And as Revelation 5 puts it, with the joy of heaven and with your blood, you purchased men for God. I watch a bit of football. I follow it quite closely, I suppose you would say. Not avidly. I used to probably be avid. I'm less than avid these days. And sometimes I talk to people, they talk to me, and we talk about how valuable football players are, the ridiculous amounts of money they earn. And we sometimes try and justify it and say, well, they've only got a short career, and by 35, 36, they're finished. But it's hard to justify it when they're on millions of pounds a year. And recently you may have seen a Brazilian player called Neymar has come from Barcelona to Paris Saint-Germain. And the French government basically have bought him. It's cost so much money. The price has been paid for Neymar. Millions of euros. Millions. That is nothing compared to what has been paid for you and for me. In comparison, is it? Absolutely nothing. You may have two left feet. That's all right. You don't need, you know, as long as you can walk with the Lord in the light of his word, that's what you need to be doing. The precious blood of Christ has been shed. The price has been paid, and paid in full. Don't you like to write that on bills when you've paid them? Paid in full. Stick a date on it. It's been paid once and for all for you and for me. And with that is the promise. An additional thing comes with it. His blood provides purification. I lied, there was another word. But you know that word. As we walk in the light, 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all and every sin. We are not sinless, but we do sin less as Christians. And when we do sin and we do mess it up, there is the blood of Christ applied to us by the Father to his children. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all and every sin. As we confess those sins, he purifies us from all unrighteousness. What a God! What a God to do this. Not just to do it once and just say, okay, let's see if you can live perfectly now. I've cleaned you up. No. Again and again. Christ's blood is precious. Christ's blood provides. Oh, how it provides. Everything that you need eternally, it provides. That's why in Hebrews 9, it's just so exciting to look and see. It's eternal salvation. It's eternal redemption. It's eternal inheritance. Everything is eternal in Hebrews chapter 9. And that's my third point this evening. Christ's blood's impact is a permanent impact. The effect of his blood remains undiminished. The impact of it is as great today as the day it was first spilt on Calvary's cross. The redemption is eternal. The inheritance it brings is eternal. It cannot be shortened or lost or somehow deteriorate over time. So when we read these words in Corinthians, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." We might think, well, it was new then. But no, I tell you this evening, it's as new as ever. It's new now. It's new for the person taking it for the first time and drinking of this cup for the first time. I think this evening we've all been here many times before. But may it be new to you, afresh, as you take from the cup this evening, as you remember him. Because you're not remembering him in the past as some hero of yesteryear. He ever lives. You're remembering him today, now, with us. The new covenant and its promises cannot be amended or changed. His precious blood, well, just becomes more precious to us the more we understand what it's done for us. So perhaps it only changes in that sense. It never gets less precious, but more precious. His lifeblood flowed to cleanse your sin and mine. Through faith, then, in Jesus, there is atonement, justification, redemption, purification. There is everything that you and I need. So when we take this cup in a few moments' time, let us remember. Yes, remember his blood shed. Remember the anguish, of course, and the pain in his suffering. But remember also the flow of blood and what that flow of blood means for your soul eternally. I want to finish by quoting a few hymns. Because when the preacher really can't grasp it, sometimes the hymn writer does. It's a real gift, isn't it, if you think about it? I know sometimes we bemoan modern songs that don't have the message, don't have the content. But listen to these. Philip Bliss in Man of Sorrows, you know it well. "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a saviour." I mean, the whole of the hymn is marvellous, but "sealed my pardon with his blood." You need his pardon tonight, we all do. And it's been sealed. The deal has been sealed. Cannot be picked away at, cannot be undermined, brought down in any way. Oh, what about this from William Cooper, I think it's probably how he knew himself, but William Cooper he suffered a lot with depression. It's amazing the hymns he writes in the light of that. But within one of his hymns, there is a fountain. We were looking at this morning out at Canewdon from Zechariah. But, "Dear dying lamb, your precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more." That is the truth of it. That blood that cleanses us as we give our hearts and lives to the Lord continues to have its effects till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. That's what is ahead for us because this blood has been shed for us. And then Cecil Alexander's hymn, "There is a green hill far away," again, known so well and loved so much. "He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by," what? "His precious blood." His precious blood, sealing our pardon, fixing for us our eternity. This is not just another communion service, is it? This is something precious, something eternal for us, that the Lord would minister to us, to assure us that we are His children, blood-bought children, at the highest possible price. People talk these days about, self-image and all that sort of stuff, and the importance of people knowing that they belong and that they're important. And while we want to encourage people in that, but to know who we are in Christ, to know the price that has been paid for us, isn't that the most wonderful thing of all? We belong to the Lord if our faith and trust is in Him this evening. His blood has been shed for us. We are made holy. So let us live holy lives. That's the application. That's the practicality of this. Yes, take the cup and drink and consider what this means eternally for you. But then go and live it out. And remember, you're not your own. You've been bought with this price. The highest price possible. Back to my old friend Neymar. He's got the world on his shoulders in Paris. If he doesn't do the goods when he's playing the games, he's going to be remembered as the biggest, most expensive flop ever. He's okay. I think he'll get by. But you and I, more than can get by, can't we? With God's help, sustaining and helping us, we've been made holy. Let us live holy lives, not going any other way but the Lord's way daily in our lives. Let's remember His blood affords us and grants us peace in our hearts and freedom and belonging. We are redeemed. The price has been paid. Well, we're going to sing of that redemption now in a hymn before we come to the communion. It's hymn 708, Fanny Crosby's hymn, "To God Be the Glory." O perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord. Let us sing it with gusto as we always do, but let us reflect on these wonderful words. It's hymn 708.
Sin and no breath, the light in the whole world.
Lord, that you should give your Son and he should shed his blood for each one of us is incredible, amazing, marvelous, wonderful. Words cannot fully comprehend. But as we sang that hymn with all our hearts, with gusto, praise to your name, we know that all heaven sings of what you have done. And we just want to be a part of that. We thank you that we do indeed belong to you. We are a blood-bought people. So help us, Lord, to live in the light of that, to live that out. Help us to sin less. Help us, Lord, to live distinct, different lives in this world. Help us never to forget the price that you have paid for us. And indeed the price, Lord, for the people of Rochford, for those around us too. We pray that others would come to know of your wonderful love and come to know of your amazing grace and generosity in this. Lord, this is such a special offer, as it were. Sounds too good to be true, but it is true. And we thank you for it. So bless us now as we come to your table. For any who have to leave us, may they go with your parting blessing, knowing your presence with them. But as we meet around your table, continue with us. And again, thank you for the visible signs, the emblems of grace upon the table. And thank you that we can take that cup and drink that wine and know that we are remembering and we are blessed because of what you did so many years ago for us. Blessed now and blessed eternally. Oh Lord Jesus, we are so indebted to you. Bless us at the table, we pray now. In your precious name, amen.